to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace.
And there's the deep breath.
Yeah. We look at the charts before we record.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, oh, wow, this will be interesting.
That's always the mark of, oh, boy, what roller coaster ride are we going to be on today?
Yeah.
When we look at it and go, yeah, I don't know if I want to.
So we're recording on Tuesday the 9th, but this will go up on Thursday the 11th.
Yep.
On Tuesday the 9th, Mercury is at 29 degrees Libra, so that's the final degree between Libra and Scorpio. Venus is retrograde at 10 degrees in Scorpio, square Mars, which is at 9 degrees now, but will go up to 10, so it'll be an exact square by Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Sun is at, where is it now? Sun is at 18, so 18 by Thursday, so 16 today. Mm-hmm. Sun in Libra by Thursday will be at 18 square Pluto, 18 in Capricorn. Jupiter is at 23 now in Scorpio, but will go up to 24, and Moon will be on approach by the time this airs, and that's trining into Chiron retrograde at 29. That's a lot of nerd talks, but so I'll tell you what that means. As we're recording, we're feeling the shift that's about to come in over the next 2 days. Mm-hmm. Mercury, 29 Libra, right?
Yep.
And Moon, we're getting off a new moon, which happened overnight last night.
Yep.
So we have three placements in Libra, but there's Jupiter and Venus retrograde in Scorpio.
Scorpio, yep.
So tonight, Mercury will shift, but anytime something gets at 29 degrees Libra in particular, it's right on the cusp. It's right on the line between beauty and shadow. And therefore, there's a very stark contrast. It feels super dark.
Yep.
Mercury will click into Scorpio and then the moon. And then we've got squares to Pluto. Pluto rules Scorpio. And then square to Mars with Venus. And Mars is the ancient ruler of Scorpio. So it's just fucking everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's intense. It can feel like a haunting. Okay. There can be survival fears in the air. I don't know if I'm going to get through this, right?
Oh, for sure.
It can feel like you can have some self-loathing going on.
Mm-hmm.
You can have some imminent doom feelings coming on. That's not the intent of the energy, though.
Right.
The intent of the energy is transformation. And transformation means clearing out everything that's dead, everything that's over, everything that's dragging you down, all of the residue, clean it out. You're not meant to carry that. You're meant to clean all of that out so that you can receive the new better, so that you can treat people with more kindness, so that you can be kinder to yourself. Mm-hmm. You got to get all that off of you.
Right. I watched a demolition crew the other day near my house. And it's one of those like beautiful 1920s buildings or homes. It was like a bungalow. There's lots in the area that I live in. And they had come in the morning and you could see them starting like pulling pieces of the house out, right? They thought they wanted to salvage like a bookcase and things like that. They were salvaging that were hand built from the 20s. And then they went to knock it. And I was standing there and they were knocking it down and that big plume of smoke came out first, right? And then everything just collapses from there. But it was like that moment of standing in that plume of smoke of like that wall that smacks you in the face of like, oh, shadow. Oh, like, I don't know if I'm going to make through this. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to breathe after this plume hits me.
I can't breathe. Yeah.
Right. Like, and then the subsequent reaction of like, oh, it's crumbled. Now it can be moved away. Now it can be cleared out. Now we can build anew. I think that's exactly what you're speaking of.
Have you ever seen when they finish cleaning it out?
Yeah.
When it's like it's a clean slab or yep. clean dirt, however far down they're going to go.
Yep.
It's completely cleared out. It's open space. Unlimited possibility. Anything could go there.
That's how it is right now. Like this beautiful home sat there for years. And now it's just like dirt and anything can happen now.
Mm-hmm.
All that's in a matter of a day.
Yeah. And that's what you aim for. When you get, I'm not trying to act like this is easy, okay?
No, neither of us are.
As we talk about almost every week, you and I have a lot of Scorpio. Because we know how this operates does not mean that we're not struggling within it. We are. This is hard for everybody.
Yeah.
But what you do is when you're in this much Scorpio, first of all, don't fight it and don't go head first into it. Right. If you tell darkness or shadow, oh, I am not looking at you, we are going to fight. And the shadow goes, all right, let's go.
Right.
Let's throw down right now.
Squares right up here.
Ugly. Yep. Yeah.
Real quick. And then you go, shit, that wasn't the decision I was supposed to make.
Bad idea.
No, it's bad.
Yeah. And if you dive head first into it and say, go ahead and take me now, then you have to spend all that time climbing your way back up.
Yep.
Right. So all you do, as if it's easy, but right. try to not have it so incendiary, mm-hmm. and you sit with it very calmly and you go, all right, what are you trying to show me?
Yep.
And then it goes, thank you. I was trying to get your attention. Mm-hmm. And then it tells you all the things that it wants you to look at. And if you'll sit in that uncomfortableness, whatever, it's showing you all of that because it has your best interests at heart. It's saying you've been carrying this for too long. You've got to heal it, transform it, move it, shift it, something, because it's hurting you.
Yep.
And then you can say to the shadow, thank you. I see you now. All right.
I think it's sort of, for me, like inflammation that builds up in our body, right? Like I see inflammation as a lot of times as shadow characteristics, right? Like of that it's heaviness, it's things that we've held onto that will keep us back, that will hold us back, that need to be cleaned out. So like when inflammation starts to build in our body, it can make like, you know, the movement of cholesterol go slower. It can make our joints achy. We can have under eye circles. We can feel like real lethargic in our body, right? Like our kidneys can hurt because we're not detoxifying things easily. We can have itchy skin. Like there's 1,000 different symptoms that we can have from just being inflamed. And then if we ignore the symptoms of inflammation of like the itchy skin, well, then all of a sudden we're dealing with eczema that we can't get rid of, right? And then we're itchy on our scalp and our hair is starting to fall out. Like it builds and it builds and it builds. All the while, the body is asking you, hey, could you just look at where you're holding on to inflammation, where you're holding on to things that are not contributing to your overall well-being and your overall growth? Because if we can get rid of those, then we can get rid of the inflammation. We can get rid of the shadows. We can clear the vessel in order to be in optimal well-being in our internally and externally.
That happens. I swear it happens with me chronically because when my body has some sort of inflammation, I'm like, I don't have time for this shit. I'm too busy. I'm working or I'm taking care of my kid or, you know, whatever. I'm too busy. I don't have time for this. And it goes, okay. And it just cranks it up more.
Yep.
Until it's not like it's trying, it's not like it's in revolt or it's trying to be mean. It's saying, listen, mm-hmm. I need for you to care about this. It's serious. And you're like, it's probably not that serious. Right. Yeah, it is.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. It forces you to look at it, but not because you're in trouble,
right?
But because you want to feel better, don't you?
Right.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Scorpio energy feels the same. That's very similar to that.
Right.
For me.
You want to feel better, don't you?
Right.
Yeah, you're right. I do.
Right. So.
What I think is also a kind of difficult, well, not kind of difficult, but on top of the Scorpio and then looking at the contrast between Scorpio and Libra, it's the squares into Mars and Pluto. So yeah. Pluto and Capricorn is where there's a collapse happening in old rules, old structures, old paradigms, the old way of doing things, right? Mm-hmm. And so the square from Libra into Scorpio is asking us to look at fairness. Like look around you. Mm-hmm. Where is there injustice or unfairness going on? Of course, you can see it in the collective. But right. also in your own life.
Right.
Is it fair that you're only sleeping 4 hours a night? Probably right. not.
Right.
Is it fair that you put yourself last? No.
Right.
Is it fair that you go, I'll be happy someday, but not this day? Mm-hmm. It's not fair.
Right.
What's fair for people around you, of course, but what's fair for you too? What's fair for your own life? Because you can choose another way. You can live by different rules. You can set up your life differently. You can change the paradigm of your life.
Okay.
Based on how you want to receive life better than the square from Venus into Mars. This one feels like a collision to me.
Mm.
Maybe within yourself, if your inner masculine is saying to you, what the hell's your problem? Get it together.
Right.
Meanwhile, your feminine is going, I'm having feelings is what I'm doing right now. Nothing's wrong with me. Okay.
Right.
But also with each other in relationships, the masculine pulling away and becoming detached and distant while the feminine is going, what are you doing? There's real feelings happening over here and we need to talk about it. And right. The masculine is going, not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then the feminine has to go, well, okay, then I'm going to have to not abandon myself.
Right.
Instead of getting resentful and pissy.
Oh, that's
that whoever you're looking to for attention is a long way away.
That's a hard one. I don't like that one very much.
I don't think anybody does.
But the resentment is so much easier in this situation.
Right. And disappointment. Right. How dare you?
Huh? Yeah.
But it's just going to make it worse.
Right.
You can't force an energy that's like Mars is in Aquarius right now. It's detached. It's far out there. It might as well be on another planet.
Right.
You can't lasso it back in and force it to comb your hair.
Right.
It's not going to do it.
No.
No. It's just going to resist harder.
Yeah. It's that theme about resisting, right? There's something there that about the duality of resisting, right? Like resisting what is no longer fair, not succumbing to it, not giving in, not condoning it, not being apathetic towards it, like not saying, oh, well, this worked for 100 years, so therefore it's going to continuously work, right? Like of not being an allowance of things that are actually in place of suppression, whether it's our own personal behaviors or those that are being enacted within the collective. And then there's like that duality between the resistance to that which is trying to get you to grow, that which is trying to get you to dig deeper, that which is trying to like sweep out the cobwebs of your well-being, and the elusiveness of how we can want to resist that, even though it is like a beckoning and a calling to tuning in, to coming back into ourselves.
Yeah, I think if you tune in, they're the same.
Yep.
Right? So not resisting yep. What is what we're talking about. What is this isn't fair.
Right.
What is this person doesn't feel like talking right now.
Right.
Okay? Not resisting what is.
Right.
You know unfairness.
Oh, yeah.
You know unfairness. You know true injustice unfairness. Not,
right.
It's not fair, they're not talking to me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's that sensation. That always strikes me around like integrity, right? Like that we've talked about this before too, with like the grit, right? Like the backbone that we all carry of that in those places of the grit and the integrity that we stand in. Like when something is unfair, systematically unfair, when it is systematically wrong, when you're watching people, innocent people suffer at the hands of whatever, that's just not having access to clean water again, because that's like an easy, tangible place that both of us go. Like that is systematic unfairness. That's it from my perspective and the integrity that I stand in. That's a lot easier because I also equally can feel in response to that Scorpio and that Aries energy that is within my personal placements, obviously, that's wrong. I'm going to stand up against it.
You can easily get there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then unfairness slipping into personal resentment because
right.
you're not having your way right now.
Right.
Is different.
Oh, way different. It's like that child stomping their feet and pouting. I wanted waffles and you gave me pancakes. How dare you?
How dare you? Yeah.
Had yeah. several of those mornings I can recall from personal experience.
So I was thinking about how in this energy, like how, like pro survival for this much Scorpio energy.
Yep. Right?
And it is sitting with the shadow and being willing to listen and know that it's coming up in your best interest.
Right.
It's to elevate you higher. It's not trying to take you down. But there's also like the opposite sign from Scorpio is Taurus. It's also, if you will ground, you'll feel better. Instead of diving headfirst into the deep end, if you will ground up to the surface, you'll feel better. So grounding, for people who aren't used to grounding or aren't very good at it, mm-hmm. What do we mean by grounding?
Oh, such a good conversation. So I'm going to answer it, but I'm going to answer that within a story. I once went to a nutrition conference and there was a cardiologist there. And his name is escaping me now. Maybe by the time I put the show notes up, I'll be able to remember. It's Steve something. His son had worked and he told this story, cause he changed his whole entire research career. His son had worked within, large amounts of data collection. And so he was around several computer screens all day long, like constantly around Wi-Fi, that sort of stuff. And he started getting really ill. Right. And so his dad was like, I don't understand what's going on with you. You're working out, like you're eating healthy. Like I'm not, and he's a medical doctor, right? And a researcher. He's like, I can't figure this out. And so he went and changed his whole entire career to look at why his son was becoming ill, just from the fact that like his body was being presented in front of large computer screens. That was the only thing that he could figure out that could be impacting his health. Right. So he, went and found like, and studied a lot of shamanic principles about grounding, where you take your shoes off. Steven Sinatra, that's his name. You take your shoes off and you walk around outside, right? And that changes the electron charges of our body to restabilize them, to bring them back into balance, into homeostasis. And he used his son as a subject on how could I heal my son by teaching him how to ground. So he had his child, adult child, walk around outside every day with no shoes on, grounding into the earth wherever he could because he lived in a city. So it was like a parkscape in his city, right? He would have certain crystals around his son. He had him eating like really grounding foods, which when we talk about really grounding foods, typically we're talking about foods that are root foods. So like beets, carrots, parsnips, turnips, sweet potatoes, potatoes, anything that is being dug up from the actual ground that can help root us back into our body. And then he also had him wear some like crystal charges that would deflect the Wi-Fi signals. And he also had him take large amounts of salt water baths and get to the ocean as frequently as possible. All of these things changed the electron charge of his body. And he reversed the illnesses that he was experiencing from being around those computer screens, right? So for me, grounding is about how do we get back? And I always take this back to our ancestry. How do we get back to our ancestral ways where we were once walking in the wilderness, picking our foods, hunting and gathering, right? Where we were once sitting in community and sharing our stories and being witnessed when we were sharing our stories, where we were once sharing soup because that was what connected us all. And we all had a hand in the process of creating that. Things like that are the ways that I think it's important to root. And we can do that in any number of ways. I have access to getting out into the middle of the mountains where I live. That's not the case for everyone. That's a way that I ground in. But if I'm in the cityscape where my last house was at, I park my ass in a bathtub for as long as I possibly can get in there because that's the way I can come back into grounding.
That's right. Yeah. I think that's important is that you can ground no matter where you are.
Right.
Even if you don't have access to a bathtub, you can wrap yourself in a blanket, something to bring you back into the body and to be back of the earth.
Yes.
Be back of the earth. And it's because the water gets so deep that it can feel like you're drowning.
Yep.
And you need to have something that makes you feel like you're here. You're still here. You're okay. It's that something, I don't know. Saltwater baths keep coming up a lot lately, no matter who I'm talking to. And I wonder if that has something to do with a high amount of negative charge in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You need a lot to counter it and recalibrate.
And they detoxify you. They pull the toxins straight out of your body, which is why, like, even if you don't have a bath, maybe you have a bucket that you can pour hot water into and put a ton of salt in it at the dollar store. Like, you can do that, right? Because that can pull all of those toxins and restabilize the electrons within your body.
Like, just through your feet, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
I was doing my morning stuff today. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, ask Aubrey to talk about grounding. Little did I know. Wow, that was a good idea.
The things that come out of my head. I once was called Aubreypedia, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense, because I have like this storage of stuff that I have no idea why the fuck I carry it around, but here I am.
Because people will come asking.
Yeah, it's really interesting that yesterday I was thinking about I've mentioned this, my girlfriend and I like to hunt for crystals and things like that. And there's a black moonstone. So moonstone is typically like a white and opaque, right? And rainbowy, but the black moonstone is one that's gray and black. And then there can be blue veins within it. And there's not really any whiteness, and there's not really typically a rainbow within it. And I got real curious because that crystal keeps popping up. And for me, I think it's one that embodies what's happening within Scorpio placements and the Venus placements, and as it relates to Mars as well, because it is a stone that helps, one, open up our ability to receive for the feminine, so that Venus energy, and it acts as a protector, so that Mars energy, right? But then the Scorpio is like that shadow. It's holding the shadow, but within those shadows are glimpses of rainbows, are glimpses of hope that are coming out. Like, that stone right now is like the energy of what we're in.
What is it called again?
It's called Black Moonstone.
That's fascinating. I'm gonna look that up today. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It feels really pertinent for some reason right now.
Yeah, definitely.
And that would be another way to ground, to answer the original question.
I know some people who like just hold crystals in their hands just while they're hanging out and talking.
Are you talking about me?
Oh,
usually when we're on podcasts, I have my crystals in my hands, or in my pockets.
I've got mine too.
Yeah. My partner the other day, I came in the room and I was like, "What are you doing with my crystals?" Because there's like five of them laying out, and he was like, "They were all in your pants. It must have been a rough day, huh?" And I was like, "Well, yeah. Have you listened to the podcast? It is." I just carry them with me wherever we go.
Stuff in your pockets.
I'm like the cat lady, but with crystals completely. My purse is so heavy because I'm like, the more stones, the better. It will help me get through.
All of them. I don't know. Just all of them.
It's so true. Thank you for listening in to the Be the Evidence podcast with Susan and I. We are really grateful that you are here, that you're showing up, that you're willing to be seen, and that you're exploring these conversations. Thank you. If you're curious at all about the offerings and the readings that Susan and I do, I would really urge you to go to our websites. There you will find a lot more information about who we are and the services that we have. Susan can be found at susangrace.org, and I can be found at aubreycara.co. For all of our listeners of the podcast, we have set up a Patreon page specific to you guys. There you will find services that are not available to anyone else. And you can find us on patreon.com/bethe evidence podcast. When you're there, there are two different options for you to have access to a guided meditation and or a reading with Susan and I both. If you ever have any questions or comments or feelings that you would love to share or stories about how the podcast is resonating with you, we would love to hear them. Please feel free to reach out to us at bethe evidence podcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime,
please know we are deeply grateful for all the ways that you are showing up. We see you, we hear you, we feel you. Thank you.